Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and again, I am joined by Annabelle and John to be discussing the challenge. Episode 7, we are going to be recapping all of the excitement from there. Unfortunately, we have lost our second and final survivor in Jay, who went out tonight in under a minute. It was literally a flash. Oh my gosh, that challenge was absolutely insane. Good on Leroy. That was amazing. But very fun episode of the challenge. I feel like a lot more exciting than last week's, which kind of had an anticlimactic finish. This challenge at the end was amazing. I liked all that they did before that. So a lot going on. I had accidentally said 2 or 3 weeks ago that Teresa was playing a great game. Clearly, I don't understand how the challenge works because nothing could be further from the truth as we see now. Annabelle, John, welcome back. What did you think of tonight's episode?
Tonight was a banger of an episode. It was so much fun from beginning to end. There was so much going on. I mean, even while I was just writing down my notes, I surpassed last week's notes in that before that first daily. There was so much happening and it was so much fun. And I'm really looking forward to talking about tonight.
Yeah, I totally agree. It had it all. It had a good daily. It had a good elimination. You had a bro fight in there. You had a lot of drama between the girls. I mean, what more could you want in an MTV challenge episode?
This was the most MTV episode of all the episodes. I felt like earlier on when Josh had his first blow up, that was kind of it in there. But this was really the most MTV of MTV episodes. Like even down to the challenge at the end, like Leroy and Jay look like the kind of guys that like we've been watching on MTV forever, where it's like they're just going to battle it out in this epic challenge. And Jay with his surfer haircut and Leroy with his bulging biceps. Like it just worked perfectly. I thought it was great all around. And my guy, Devin, got plenty of airtime being an absolute troll, which of course to me never gets old, though I'm sure to others it certainly does at some point. But let's start off the top with how everybody reacted to Cam getting her gold skull and how thankless everybody was about it. What did we think about the reaction towards Teresa? Considering really Teresa at the end of the day, even though she didn't warn Cam, did end up doing her a favor.
Yeah. And Teresa goes ahead and says that in that first confessional we get from her is like, Cam, you have your gold skull, like lay off, which is exactly what we were talking about last week as well, where we thought maybe this blows over because Cam did end up coming up on top. And we thought Leroy would be a lot more upset had Jay put Cam down there and Cam was eliminated. But again, she got that gold skull. She had that safety. But right off the top, we have the two affected parties. We have Corey. We have
Cam, right?
Who was it? It was Corey and Kyle.
Oh, yeah, Corey and Kyle. Really, yeah.
Who were really mad with Jay for not giving them the heads up that they were going down. We had Leroy in there because, of course, Cam has two partners in this game, not just one. And he was also really mad. And it seemed like the conversation was going fine. And then Teresa comes in and is like, no, this was my move. Like, don't blame Jay for this. This was me. Mm-hmm. And then we get Leroy saying, nah, you're still going out. So it was really interesting to see that land that way. Did we expect something different? Possibly. But at the end of the day, I'm not really surprised this is what happened.
I just felt like the reaction towards... Maybe it's survivor bias, but I felt like the reaction towards Jay was insane. Like, I just felt like it was so crazy and how they were like, well, you could have screwed us over. And it's like, but he didn't. And you all know, if you haven't figured out the pattern on this season yet, maybe you shouldn't play the challenge. The pattern has not changed the entire time. And in fact, I'm getting kind of annoyed that the pattern hasn't changed because now the one sex every time has no risk at all in going. Teresa could be a total ass tonight because she had no risk at going into the challenge, and she knew that the entire episode. So, I'm going to try to save Jay, but ultimately she throws Jay further and further and further under the bus because she does the complete anti-survivor, which is blend into the background. She does the, no, I'm going to be in your face as much as possible. I just thought the reaction was so strong to it, and I'm kind of surprised. Like, I felt like it was a little short-sighted because now you've gotten rid of Jay and gave Leroy a skull. Leroy is so incredibly strong. That's not good for the rest of the men, because you're not going to, it's going to be hard to take out Leroy to get the gold skull from him. But then also, like, he got to get it against Jay, who, yeah, Jay's a good competitor, but it's either, I mean, you would think just looking at people, you have your best shot against either Jay or Devin in most of these challenges. Like, if you're just going to play the odds, I mean, that doesn't mean Jay would have beaten any other person in tonight's challenge aside from Leroy. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. However, if you're just going to play the odds are you'd rather go up against Jay than Darrell or Leroy or Fessy, or I know Josh loses every time, but, or Josh, like, it's just the way that the odds work out. And Michi, who I forget is there half the time.
I as well forget that Michi is there. Yeah, I agree. It was a very strong reaction, especially when you look at the outcome. I mean, one of the power players in the house has her gold skull. Somebody who went home episode one went home again. Whoop-de-doo. It was a very strong reaction. And yeah, that's Teresa probably did know that she would not personally be on the block for the next one. So she was trying to take the heat off Jay, trying to protect him. That's what we saw her do in the daily challenge, trying to look out for him to kind of see if she could win to protect him, get everyone else to kind of fall off as fast as they could. But yeah, I think, I mean, she's with Corey. I don't know. I don't really like that pairing, to be honest.
No, and I think what she said is the perfect thing. Every time Corey gets a partner, they go home. Why? Because it's the timing of the situation. Yeah. Corey always gets a new partner, and then it's a female elimination, and that's what's about to happen again.
Yep.
I mean, it's about to be a female elimination, and everybody's mad at Teresa. Corey's got nothing to lose. He'd be like, sure, throw me in. I don't care. And let's get rid of Teresa. Like, if Corey's running out of time to get his gold skull anyway, so he's going to have to do it at some point. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't like this pairing at all. It's really the only new, it's like the only new thing, wrinkle that we have coming into this. But I don't think that this pairing is going to be successful at all. I think it's going to be unbelievably short-lived, because nobody wants to work with Teresa right now, even though some of these older players should want to work with Teresa instead of throwing her under the bus, because she really is the connection to the rookies, who there's starting to become a lot more rookies than you would think would make it this far. I mean, she's literally up there on that cargo net with four of the rookies.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the only four female rookies in the game, and she was up there with all of them.
Yeah. I do actually think the rest of the house is cognizant of that, though. We saw Anissa with that confessional about Teresa's connection to the rookies. So I guess, like, they're just not threatened by it. Because at least Anissa, she, and you know, she's not afraid to speak her mind. Like, they definitely know where Teresa's power lies and where it comes from. And I guess they're just not all that worried about it right now.
I don't think they're worried about it in terms of Teresa. I don't think they're thinking about it in terms of, oh no, we don't have the numbers.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense, because there are four of them. Mm-hmm. That's a large part. There's four of them plus Teresa plus Big T. That's six.
And that's just the women.
Yeah.
That doesn't even count Michi and Devin, who would definitely end up going with them, and CT, who seems like he's playing a little bit of both sides, and Nam. I mean, and they could have used Jay.
Yep.
Tonight. Like, that easily, I mean, 12 people ended up voting Jay and Teresa in. That number could have easily flipped, but I think there was a little bit of groupthink going on in that deliberation, because I think they came at Teresa and Jay so hard, people were like, you know what, let's just not piss anybody off.
After Jay mentioned his own name.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
that was Devin's there,
Devin's there apologizing. And Jay's just like, I know my name's been thrown around. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you possibly mention your name? Wait until someone else mentions your name, then defend yourself.
Yeah.
You should have stayed quiet based on the events that happened the night before.
And you would think, as a Survivor player, he would know that.
Yeah, and I think it was more that I maybe it's an editing thing, and maybe Teresa had just been going on and on, but, like, you could tell Teresa was going on and on. So while I assume I won't give Jay all the benefit of the doubt, and maybe he does just bring his name up, but, like, Teresa seemed like she wasn't going to keep her mouth shut here. And again, I don't like, I'm losing interest in the format of this because it's too easy to predict, and really it's too easy to predict where one half of each pairing can just sabotage the other half of their pairing every single week and know that they're not going to have any repercussions. Like, I just have a problem with that. And it's starting to get stale. And I'm assuming at this point, this is how the rest of the season is going to go. It doesn't seem like it's going to change. We're going to have a female next week, a man the week after, female next week, man the week after. And I just worry that that's going to become a little stale and ruin the back half of this season a little bit, because for me, Teresa's on the apology tour and Jay takes the bullet. Jay had no chance to not take the bullet tonight. Like, there was nothing he could have done to not take the bullet, especially I think that having these time challenges the way they are is completely unfair. I mean, it's totally, totally unfair, but that's just, you know, now I'm putting too many thoughts out at once. So somebody interrupts me.
I think Teresa should have taken her own advice. Top of the episode, Teresa's like, Jay needs to stay quiet, stay in the background, because in the challenge, a day is like a year and everyone forgets about everything. And it looked for a long time in that episode that that wasn't going to be the case. Then we had a big blow up and it's like, oh, maybe this is Jay's way out of this. We see Jay during that blow up standing in the corner, grinning ear to ear. Because he's like, oh, I'm good now. But then Teresa keeps blowing everything up.
Yeah.
And isn't following her own advice on how to not get nominated.
No. Yeah. That was a poor political decision, especially by somebody who's got six other seasons under their belt. And she's played with some of the most manipulative people in the game. Yeah, that did not make a lot of sense to me at all.
I just feel like it's just alcohol is a hell of a drug. And I think it's coming out. And I know John had said earlier in one of these podcasts that on a normal season, they kind of go out into wherever they are. So there's more interaction. I think when you really only have these people to talk to, we see what ends up happening with Devin and Fessy and Josh, because they all just get under each other's skin so much. It's so easy for that to happen. And it seems like Teresa's kind of losing her mind because there is nowhere else to go. It is just like, I am trapped. I don't know what to do. And I hear Amber B is talking crap about me. I've been hard on Amber B the whole season, saying, who is that? Amber B was great tonight. I mean, coming out party for sure for Amber B. Had a big episode, great reactions to Teresa, infuriating reactions to Teresa. There is nothing more annoying than when you're trying to argue with somebody and they start pulling the whole, like, why are you so mad? Why are you doing this? Stop. I'm a calm person. Like, that's the most aggravating thing, when somebody just like is almost trying to undermine you by being like, if you're angry, like there's something wrong with you. And I thought Teresa brought up good enough of points. I mean, she definitely did say she wanted to throw Darrell out there, but you know, Amber B just played it really, really well in this entire situation. So Teresa definitely lost her cool, which is kind of a theme for this episode.
Yeah. And it was great seeing Amber tonight. Because we still didn't see any of her partner, that's for sure. But we have Amber coming out. And it was really telling when we had that conversation between Amber and Teresa after the big fight. And, like, you see Teresa's kind of piecing it together, trying to figure out what's going on. And you have to give credit to the MTV editors, because that was kind of at a point where you're like, maybe Teresa and Jay aren't getting thrown down today. Maybe they won't get voted in. And that was kind of nice, because it wasn't quite predictable at that point, because we saw those type of like intimate conversations between people.
Go ahead, Annabelle.
It seems like we finally get some content from Amber B, and the way she's playing the game seems pretty solid, especially for a rookie. Like, it seems smart to kind of like lay low in the background, not make waves. Obviously there was a little bit of that this time, but you know, she knows she's like in the right of it. She's just standing by her partner. She's staying loyal to Darrell. She's working as hard as she can in the challenges. She's building those allies with some of the more experienced veterans. We hear Nani give her a character testament in one of her confessionals. Mm-hmm. Like, she seems to be playing a really good game. I hate that it's taken this long for them to show it to us. But I'm getting kind of excited about her moving forward. And Darrell, I mean, is just a monster. So I'm kind of hoping they can take some people down.
Yeah, and so has a rookie ever won before? And I mean that in terms of like when there's more returning players than rookies, because obviously like season one, I'm assuming a rookie won in some way or like whatever. But, you know, has a rookie won before?
I'm sure it's happened at some point.
They've made finals.
Yeah, I know that.
I know they've made finals. I'm trying to remember if they've actually won.
I'm sure somebody in the chat, if anybody in the chat knows, throw that in there, because I'm just curious, because I agree with you, Annabelle. I think Amber B is playing a solid game. It seems like she has a good grasp on what's going on, but are rookies just so unlikely to win that they end up putting all of the emphasis and all of the focus on these players who aren't, who are a bigger part of the storyline and, you know, we're supposed to believe have a better chance to win in some way, shape, or form. Like, that's the only thing I wonder, you know, with this, because I do find it weird. So they're saying Turbo. I don't know who Turbo is, but there you go. So Turbo has won before. And so I wonder what would happen from Survivor Turkey.
Yes.
Is that a challenge?
No, like the show Survivor, the Turkish version of Survivor.
He was Turbo a rookie?
No, Turbo was a contestant on Survivor Turkey and then came to the challenge. I'm like,
what is going on? Okay, got it.
There were two seasons with, they called them Fresh Meat. So it was one veteran paired up with one person who had never been on TV before. So in those seasons, there was a rookie who won, but they were paired with a vet. So,
yeah. So a rookie had to win. I don't really count that. I mean more of like if a rookie doesn't have to win. Has a rookie ever won? And it seems like the answer is only Turbo. So there you go. But that's why I wonder, maybe are they just kind of pushing some of these rookies to the side? Cause we didn't hear much from Amber M tonight. We didn't hear anything from Big T, who I know isn't a rookie, but we didn't hear anything from her. Didn't hear much from Gabby. This was kind of more of it was Amber B had a lot tonight, but it was another very like heavy on the people who have played the game before episode. And I don't know why we haven't seen more of Amber B based on what I saw tonight, because I mean, she doesn't seem like she's in danger at all. And it seems like the guys are terrified of Darrell. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it seems like some of the women are scared of her, because it's getting to the point where she might be one of the stronger women left in the game. Lolo, Cam, her, Casey, maybe Nani and Teresa on a good day, and depending on the challenge for Anissa, but like, she's up there now, it seems like. And I feel like I'm contradicting myself from like a week or a couple weeks ago, but when you're actually starting to see this play out, the fact that she actually tried to hold on against Teresa and kind of blew up Teresa's plan and was able to hold on for a very long time and get ultimately Casey the win, I think that says a lot about her game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And we didn't really, I don't think we really got a chance to see it before, but in this episode, it kind of came out because she was that last vestige holding on against Teresa there. And we heard her talking a lot more, and we heard other people talking about Amber more because of her performance in this daily challenge. And it's clear that because of that, that they're looking at Amber in a different way than we are, because we aren't seeing Amber through the edit right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder when we're going to start to see the way they're seeing her. Like, tonight felt like the start of that, but when, like, Darrell really standing up for her. I know everybody kind of fake stands up for their partner unless they're partnered with Devin, but like, Darrell was really standing up for her and also really standing up for himself. But, you know, just something to think about there. All right, I'm looking here. Okay, so we have the blow up between Teresa and Amber B. We have the whole thing with Darrell. And then we get into more of the Devin trolling Josh and Fessy relentlessly until it turns into a fist fight. What does need to happen on this show for somebody to be kicked out? Because if that had happened at camp, the way Josh pushed Devin with that much force, if that happened at camp in Survivor, the person would have been kicked out of the game. If it happened in a challenge, they wouldn't have. But if it happened at camp, they would have. So what does need to happen?
If they were a woman, Josh would be eliminated.
And why is that? Because that's like the equivalent. Are they kind of saying like that's essentially a punch?
Yeah, I honestly think Josh probably should have been DQ'd because of that. That was a very aggressive push and very dangerous. If Devin hit his head there, like, he's done.
Yeah.
And I think he should have been taken out.
Yeah, I agree. I've seen people get kicked off previous seasons for violence, and I don't think it was necessarily any less violent or more violent than that. So I thought it was kind of interesting that TJ just gave them a smack on the wrist at the creator and was like, nope, you know, one strike, you're out, basically. Because, that got ugly. And I was definitely, I guess because security was right there. So they really didn't have any time.
Producer was also right there.
Yeah.
But that begs the question as to how did it even get to that point? If security's right there, why does Josh even have the opportunity to do that when he's counting down until he does it?
Well, and that's what kind of got me. Like, it's not so much, I mean, the push was obviously egregious, but it's the fact that he counted down to liftoff and then did it anyway with such force. Mm-hmm. Like, what if Devin does get hurt there? And I know Devin is trolling and he's instigating and he's pushing the buttons, but this is the reaction he wants. Mm-hmm. And so my whole thinking is like, good that Josh is taking this out on somebody who deserves it and hopefully stops before he takes it out on somebody who doesn't deserve it, because that's terrifying. If you get like that when you're drinking and you're that easily antagonized, that can be a problem. I mean, I'll leave it at that, because I don't know Josh, and I know it's an edited show, and I know there's just chaos, and look, they all have histories and stuff, and I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, this is the better person on MTV, and this is the worst person on MTV, but that can be really dangerous and just really bad. That's a bad trait to have. So when I saw the countdown, I'm like, okay, Devin's an ass. He's a total ass, but he's being an ass on purpose, and he hasn't said anything offensive. He hasn't said one of, you know, the big five or whatever you would call, however many names you want to put in there that you would say you can't say any of those or you do deserve to be kicked out of the game. He hasn't said any of those. And then he's getting hit. Like, if Devin gets up and punches him in the face, obviously Josh kills him. But does Devin get kicked out of the game too? Or, I mean, it's like he just got shoved hard.
Yeah, I mean, if he fights back and puts his hands on Josh, he would get kicked out too. They remove Josh, but yeah, I guess if he's like, I hate to call him defenseless because he is the instigator, but again, yeah, you're right. Just because you're poking the bear doesn't mean you deserve to be shoved like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but let's talk about how disgraceful this is for Josh to go around from telling Fessy it's not worth it to just go around and do the exact same thing.
That was bizarre.
Why did he even go back to that situation?
And that's what bothered me the most. Yeah. Like, Devin is mooning you. Yeah. It is the most amateurish, childish thing you can possibly do. Like, it really is. I mean, he's showing his bare ass. I mean, he's being a total five-year-old.
I loved it.
At the end of the day, what you realize when you look around that house is Devin has every single person in that house on his side, because they all know, walk the F away. Just walk away. Stop going. And like, he pushes Fessy outside and says, you know, this is what he does. This is what he does. This is what he does. And then he turns around and he goes back and I just don't understand it. And maybe it's because I'm a 5'8", 5'9" on a good day, you know, 160-pound guy. So I don't understand the whole like macho, you know, big bravado, but I just don't understand. Like, I mean, I feel like I've been that angry like maybe once or twice in my life, and it was before I had turned 17 years old. So that's just what blows my mind in this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. I mean, clearly this is them, you know, stopping it, putting an end to it and saying, cut the shit. And Devin going around apologizing definitely came from production, who was like, you need to apologize, because then if he does anything, we'll kick him out of the game. But you need to at least offer that olive branch. That's definitely what happened. But it's ridiculous.
I kind of think that a lot of casting choices that are made for the purpose of generating drama. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. But I think that happens at the expense of like people's mental health and like their stability in the house. I think they cast a good amount of people, and Survivor's done it from time to time. Like, other reality shows have done it. It's not necessarily an MTV issue, but they've cast people who like, they, you know, they get poked like that and they blow up, and like, you cannot act like that as a full blown adult. I mean, you have to have more control over your emotions and more maturity and know when to walk away. And I think a lot of it honestly just stems from who they're deciding to cast, because they just kind of want that drama and that excitement for the viewers.
Yeah. And that was something we had done, that Survivor podcast with Peridium today. Something I didn't bring up, but like something I hope that gets left behind in 2020 is that kind of, we're casting just because we're going to have crazy people on here who are going to do crazy things. Ultimately, it doesn't work as well in today's day and age. It worked well back in 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, whatever. But in 2021 now, these kinds of things legitimately ruin people's lives. And it has lasting impacts that just do not work the way that it used to. Because it used to be, oh, that guy was an ass on TV. You know, I think you meet Johnny Fairplay and it's like, he's not an ass. He just played one. But when you're being scrutinized on social media and all of that, these things don't work. So I start being like, well, why are they casting Josh? Like, is it worth it? And you know, it's the Hollywood question. And unfortunately, the answer is yes. But is it worth it to exploit people like this just to get maybe one or two more viewers? We were going to watch this show whether Josh is on it or not. So I just wonder, like, why are those decisions still being made in 2021 when the ramifications are always bad? Like, it's always bad now. And it just doesn't work anymore. So I don't know. I just feel like it's a tired shtick that just feels weird to be watching week after week.
I haven't seen all of Josh's seasons yet, but I feel like this is kind of the season where he's getting riled up a lot more than usual. And I think if this happens again, he's probably getting pulled from the game based on what TJ said tonight. And I think you're at a point where if this keeps happening, he's not going to come back. They just won't cast him again because he's not really adding anything to the show other than these blow-ups. And he's getting too volatile at this point where it's too risky to keep him around.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I totally agree because I'm just waiting for something to get too bad. And it was crazy to me that Fessy was so triggered today, but I think Fessy was also really drunk when this was happening. It just seemed like he was a little bit more off than he normally is.
I didn't check to see if he had unbuttoned his shirt or not.
I don't think he did. but yeah, this is like a crazy scene. It's an ugly scene. I don't know. And it feels like it's just something that's just getting repetitive. But when I look at Devin, I get why you're doing this as your strategy, because really this is the only way you can beat these guys. It really is. And if you're willing to get punched in the face to get further, I guess I give you credit. Honestly, I mean, you're kind of like you get the crap kicked out of you in order to get ahead. Like, I guess I give you credit if you can put up with that and are willing to put up with that because it's the only way you think you can win. But man, like it's getting close. It's getting super, super close. And we'll see if it blows over or if we do end up having somebody beat the living crap out of Devin before.
Well, and again, Devin already has his gold skull.
Yeah.
He does.
And that's why he feels comfortable doing this, in all honesty.
But he could still lose this gold skull though.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially now that there's only one left for the men on the table.
Yeah.
So got one more and then we'll see.
God, I really
fingers crossed gets taken next week. Maybe they change up the order for once.
It will not. It will not. Spoilers, John. It will not. I do hope to see a Josh versus Devin or Fessy versus Devin though before this is all said and done, because that would just be hilarious. There's no way Devin's getting to the end of this game, but man, am I going to enjoy it as it keeps going on. So anyway, let me see. Where else can we go here? Oh, I want to talk about Fessy being an introvert and self-conscious as he's apologizing to Corey. This story comes full circle. He's got no game with Gabby, and now he's trying to spit game to Corey. How do we feel about this? Kyle obviously thinks he's full of shit. What do we think?
I sit firmly on the Kyle side of things. And I was really confused during this conversation because the camera kept cutting back to Kyle in the middle of it. And I'm like, why are we cutting to Kyle? And then we finally get that confessional from Kyle being like, no, he already betrayed you. Don't listen to him. It's like, oh, it's because Kyle's literally right there listening to the conversation. That makes a lot more sense. And yeah, what Fessy's saying, first off, it took what, 2 weeks for him to talk to Corey about this? How could you possibly trust him at this point?
Yeah, that was odd to me. Like, you see them going outside of the house and sitting down together, and he's like, I feel bad about the Nelly thing, man. And I was like, what is he talking about? And I had to flip back to my notes. So I was like, oh, really? We're back to this? Like, I thought that was water under the bridge at this point. I mean, if he harbors resentment, but I thought it was kind of Yeah, like it just kind of an inane decision to make after it had happened so long ago. And
in all honesty, I think he's taking advantage of the fact that the Heat has moved on to Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if everyone's mad at Jay, Fessy can come in and be like, no, I'm the good guy here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think it worked. I also think that it's a way for MTV to set up storylines further down the road or to set up whatever they can. You know, it doesn't feel legit to me really at all. So it is what it is. I just had that one down as a note, you know, because then Devin immediately after that says, I want to take down the Big Brother Alliance. And I'm like, ooh, we're going to see the Big Brother Alliance go tonight. It's going to be Devin versus Josh or Fessy because of what went on in the house. And then instead it ends up being Jay versus Leroy, which was the obvious choice from the beginning, but didn't seem obvious throughout. What did we think about aerial takedown as a challenge?
In the words of patron Jeremy Urban, the 70s called and they want their life jackets back.
Yeah, those were dope. Those were great, great life jackets. I know I did feel a little bit like I was watching, you know, like a 70s action movie where, you know, they're blatantly wearing like a safety thing as they fall off of the thing. The stuntman is like wearing a life preserver. I did get that vibe. Thought it was a cool challenge, though. I like the idea of like incorporating the helicopter without like making it like hold on to the rail. Like mm-hmm. I thought it was just a cool idea mm-hmm. to incorporate everything. But unfortunately, and again, a problem I've kind of had with the challenge as a whole this season is it doesn't ever come out as epic as you think it's going to, because some of the people just don't do anything. And we saw that tonight, and TJ got pissed off, but the men literally stood there for their 15 minutes or whatever they had to do. And it's boring. And, yeah. and the challenge has these epic, great ideas. And sometimes they just really do not pay off.
Yeah. And that's what we came down to. And we should have seen fantastic aerial combat from the guys today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a cool challenge. Like the optics of it were great. Like over this cold water in Iceland of all places, like beautiful backdrop. It's like basically a gladiator brawl just up on like a helicopter and the cargo hanging from it. But yeah, I don't know.
Like it was John said, we should have cool aerial stuff here. And it's like, this is a challenge. You want to see the big guys go at it.
Yeah,
they just stood there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. That first heat that no one did anything and they just hung on. And like we cut to Nam and Nam's just like, I don't want to make the first move because I'm afraid everyone's going to come after me. And it's like, but if no one's doing anything, you have to do something. Mm-hmm. Like there has to be a tipping point here, right? And then in that second one, Leroy and Jay were going at it the entire time.
Yeah.
And all my thought is, CT's right there. Doesn't matter who wins this fight. CT's pushing the other one off in an instant. Mm-hmm. But he's just hanging on doing nothing.
Yeah.
And it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
And the only person who fell in was Michi because I think he just fell in.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just like Michi's role in this season is to fall in. I don't get it. I don't get why they didn't put any effort in. I don't get why there was nothing going on there. It was really boring. More than anything, like, realize you're out there ultimately. Yes, you want to win $1 million, but you're out there to entertain us. And like, if you're going to come back, you're going to come back because you're entertaining, not because you stood on a net and were a tool. Like that's not going to work. And I feel like what happened tonight was that like that's not going to fly on a reality TV show. They don't have room for quitters and people who just don't care. It was stupid. It was boring. And I'm glad the women tried. And Teresa totally did try to rig that challenge. She absolutely did. And I don't blame her. The whole point is to keep you and Jay because you know you can win the last challenge with Jay. But I also don't blame Amber B because she had heard Darrell's name. And had Teresa not had that conversation with CT in the morning, I think that Amber B probably goes along with the plan and just falls in. But the word came out and Amber B's got the biggest shield of all time in Darrell.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And like I don't blame Darrell here for not doing anything. He does have a debilitating fear of heights. It's been a continual theme of his throughout his challenge career. And I love that confessional of him being like, we got there and there's no crane and I'm so excited. And then they bring in a bloody helicopter.
Yeah.
And I could get him not moving, but Fessy's up there. Fessy can literally like pull them off one by one and throw them in the water.
And all it takes is one person to make that first move. And who's going to remember who even made it after the fact? It just, I don't know. There's no way all of them had that big of a debilitating fear.
No.
They didn't want to rock the boat.
No. A lot of them were just being, as is called, the P word throughout, as that gets thrown around so often. And as Jay says early in the episode, your names are really effective. One of my favorite lines, that is just Jay trolling Leroy to a T when Leroy calls him the P word. And Jay's like, your names are effective. Thanks, man. but it's just, it's so ridiculous. And like, that's just what they just stood there. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, I mean, MTV too, they're flying in a freaking helicopter for this. Mm-hmm. And like, I understand that helicopter's chilling in Iceland and all that. And it's probably in the budget, but that is racking up the budget for that episode. There is thought going into the fact of we're going to have a helicopter for this because we're going to do fire escape for the next one. And the budget on fire escape is way less. Mm-hmm. That is all in there. They have to pay the helicopter pilot. They have to pay the helicopter company. They have to pay the casting, all the crew who put together that whole thing. And they just took a bath on it because 8 or 7 guys literally didn't want to do a thing. It's a waste of everybody's time. Waste of everybody's time.
This challenge is why we watched them fly drones a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's where our disparity in the cost of these challenges comes. Mm-hmm. And they did nothing with it. And like, it should have been exciting. We should have seen people hanging from the bottom of that net, like trying to use their feet to pull each other off. But we got none of it. And you could tell TJ was pissed mm-hmm. because of it.
Yeah, TJ is all about everybody show up every day, do your absolute best. If you lose with heart. If you win gracefully. And we just didn't get any of the men. Nobody gave it their all. We did thankfully get it from most of the women. I guess we saw most of those rookies, except for Amber B, kind of fall in line with Teresa there. But yeah, I think you don't want to cross TJ, that's for sure. Because is he a producer like Jeff is on Survivor? Okay, I figured he must have been because he seems like he does have a lot of control over what goes on.
Like he said, he makes the rules.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, why would you want to, if you want to continue coming on, like if you enjoy your time on the challenge, I don't understand why you would want to do remotely anything to jeopardize making TJ angry.
And exactly like at the end when TJ says to Jay, you know, you're a competitor and we'll see you again. Like that's what Jay wants to hear. Cause ultimately, I mean, you know, you forget about Jay's familial issues with his mother and all that, but you know, that was something we heard about on Survivor. I don't know if it came up on the challenge in the first time he played, but he is playing for his family and you forget about that. And he wants to keep doing this. Like this is how he, you know, brings home the bread. I mean, that's essentially what he's doing. So, and it all leads to this like half-assed, oh, your votes don't count if you didn't try. Well, there were 12 people who voted for Jay and Teresa, and I think 7 of them were women. So it wasn't going to make a difference because all the women tried. And Nam, who was Jay's friend, definitely voted Devin. And there was one other. Oh, and Devin. Oh, no, Devin voted Jay. Who was the other one? There was one other person.
Corey did.
It was Darrell, Kyle.
No, not Corey. It would have been either Fessy or
Josh. It was Fessy.
Oh, yeah, Fessy. That's what it was. Fessy was
on the main page.
Yep, because Fessy did that. So there were 2 votes that were already not going to Jay, so it literally doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And so, I don't know. I just, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, you know, like the way that went down and that's why also like I feel when you have players play as many times as these players have played, they've almost gamed the system. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue. And, you know, we talk about that all the time with Survivor where it's like once somebody comes back for a 3rd or 4th time and they're playing against people who've only played once, they're going to kick the crap out of them because they know how to play the game. They know what to look for. They know when the cameras are zooming in on something. They know what's going on. That's kind of what this – it was like, oh, it's a daily challenge. Stupid idea to have it. Whoever has the fastest time wins it for their team. Cause the men all know I'm not ripping through all of you guys before that. I mean, that's the same reason why fire escape was 3 times as long or 2x as long with 3 times as many obstacles today, because Jay and Leroy were going to be able to attack that faster than Ashley and Natalie. Like, that's just a fact. And so I think that, you know, they all know we're not going to be able to throw. I'm not going to be, if I'm Devin, I'm not throwing Nam and Fessy and Nam know that they could battle each other for hours up there. Like, you know, it could be a ridiculous competition. So in a show that is going to have 1 male and 1 female winner, it's kind of surprising to me that in these daily challenges, the emphasis really just goes on whichever one we feel like this week. Like, there was no purpose to the men to compete this week. I get that, but they also still should compete.
I think it's a little different also because this season it benefits you to go down into elimination because you can potentially get a gold skull, and you obviously have to kind of play it by ear with what the challenge looks like. And, you know, you want to go in when you're good and ready and mentally prepared to go in, but in other seasons where there's no gold skull factor, I don't think you would see that same kind of behavior at a daily challenge. Cause people, a lot of times, like if you finish last, you have an absolutely, like you could go in. Sometimes it's automatic. So yeah, I think the strategy has just shifted a little bit this season with the way the eliminations go.
And when TJ started going on about how pathetic the men were for the second time in the episode at the elimination, I was hoping he was going to say that Jay was not able to get voted in because he's the only one who tried.
Yeah. Because then you would put Devin in, and Devin would deserve to go in after all of that.
Yeah. But alas, it's not what we ended up getting. And hopefully, I mean, TJ laid the law down today. It was like, you need to actually compete and stop being dinguses in the house. So hopefully that means, A, we're not going to have any more of these ridiculous conflicts. Or if they do, it's actually going to result in Josh being removed from the game. And B, everyone's going to compete because they're scared that we're getting to a point where every vote really matters.
Yeah.
So hopefully them knowing that if they don't do anything, their vote isn't going to count, amps up these daily challenges a lot.
Yeah, and we're down to what, 20 people? I mean, come on. We have we're a third of the way through the season. Let's go. Like, let's go. Like, let's get back to the level that it was, the energy that was there in episode one. Like, you know, it feels like almost with them in the house and everything's so limited, it almost feels like they're running out of options and it's getting staler and staler and staler. And I get that. That's going to happen. But give me the effort. Entertain me, clown. You know, it's the whole Wedding Crashers. Just give me that. You got to entertain me. And this episode, I thought it was a great episode. I thought there were some really great moments, but there was also a lot of frustrating that it's good to see when, you know, the producers and everything really do say, look, screw this. Like, you guys aren't coming out here to waste our money and waste our time. Like, that's not how this is going to work, because they put a lot of money into that challenge today. A lot of money. And once it starts hitting the wallet, it's amazing how fast things change. So all of that being said, the final challenge was epic. There was no doubt that Leroy and Jay were both battling it out from start to finish. Leroy, you know, goes down there, knows he's going to win this thing, knows there's no way he's going to lose, you know, puts himself out there. But I'm sure he's either done this. I think he's done this before in the challenge, but he's also probably tested this out himself numerous times. Goes out there. Jay was whipping, but Leroy was just whipping a little bit faster, and Leroy gets it done. Leroy wins at the end. You see that there's literally no hard feelings between Jay and anybody, which always makes me feel good, because I think it was more of a thing at Teresa and like, let's make this dramatic for the cameras, because Jay, unfortunately, you're going in no matter what. Love this challenge, though. Loved how hard they competed. And now Leroy's got a gold skull and so does Cam, but they're not partnered up yet. Cam tells her to tells Leroy to stick with Casey. What do we think about what happened with that whole scenario?
I think it's the wrong decision.
Really?
I think with both Leroy and Cam having gold skulls, Leroy partnering with Cam now prevents him from accidentally being voted in for when so somebody can get their gold skull against Casey, who doesn't have a gold skull, or accidentally going in with Casey to get Casey a gold skull, and then surprise, men's elimination. And like, I know we talked about the predictability of who's going in for elimination, but again, we have to hold out hope that at some point that changes. And if that's the case, I think it's terrible to be paired with someone without a gold skull. And I think it would have been incredibly smart for him to go with Cam, because A, both of them are terrifying in eliminations anyways. Those aren't the people you're going to be going for your gold skulls against. And B, I'm just afraid this is going to come to bite Leroy in the butt later when they go down to get Casey or gold skull. And it's like, men's elimination.
What do you think, Annabelle?
I took the opposite view, actually. I see what you're saying, and I I do really like the logic behind it. My thought, though, was Cam has her gold skull. Her partner is Kyle. Kyle already has one as well. So she is already kind of protected. So if you break them up, yes, you're with Cam, but you are alienating and angering Kyle, and that's kind of a whole nother wild card. And then you have another gold skull going with somebody else. Also, I think Leroy has a lot of faith in Casey as a competitor, and he wants her to go down there. And, like, I'll be honest, I think she could beat pretty much anybody at anything. Her first season was last season, Total Madness. She made it to the final as a rookie and placed second for the females. Like, she did, as we talked about last week, she really just lost on a math equation. Like, she's a great competitor. I mean, I think, yeah, it could, you know, end up being a surprise men's elimination. I still don't think Leroy has a ton to worry about if that's the case. I think he's a really good competitor at most things. So I don't know. I think you just got to focus on getting Casey her skull at this point and then hopefully lay low and get some people taken out who you wouldn't want to go up against in a final. So I thought it was the right move to stay with Casey and not anger anybody.
And I think if Leroy and Cam get together this early in the game, I think they hurt themselves because I still think there's too many eliminations left. And I think you lose a lot of your power because then it's like, you know what, let's throw Leroy or Casey in. They both have gold skulls, but let's see if somebody can take one. You know, maybe you get to a point where there's all the men left are like Josh and Fessy or Fessy has one, but Josh is like, I need a gold skull. Nom, I need a gold skull. I guess I'm going to go up against Leroy. I don't know. I'm scared to go against CT. I don't know what the reasoning would be. Go against Devin. But if that were to happen, I think you have to stay separate here to keep your numbers. And Casey now is in your pocket. And I think Kyle is more in their pocket than we might have thought heading into this week. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's the right move. I don't see any scenario, though, now where Leroy and Cam end up on the same team running the final together. I just don't see them getting together in time. That would mean somebody would have to go in or Casey would have to lose. And right now, Casey could go up against pretty much any girl out there and win. And especially, I think the other reason why this isn't the worst move is because Leroy stays with Casey. And if it is a surprise surprise male elimination, who are they probably going to throw in for Casey to beat anyway? Amber M. Who's her partner? Michi.
Yeah.
If Leroy can't beat Michi, you know, he should just go home, or it's a crazy challenge that we just weren't expecting.
That's true. As long as like this Amber M. Michi pair is still there for the opportunity for Casey to go down, right? And that pair hasn't been broken up at that point. And I know a lot of people in the chat are talking about the like distributing the numbers and stuff, but the partners they have, because with Cam, with Kyle, Kyle wants to go after the Big Brother partners with Devin, right? And then Leroy has Casey. And these Big Brother people, so it's really going to depend on how this Big Brother alliance falls here. Mm-hmm. Is the Big Brother alliance loyal to Cam and Leroy? Or does it make more sense for Cam and Leroy to be with Kyle and Devin?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, once this next men's elimination happens, you're going to see gold skull people getting thrown into elimination.
Right.
Because they have to. That means Devin is going to be probably the first person in there for elimination. Mm-hmm. Then Kyle.
Yeah.
So I just think that Leroy and Cam getting together, protect them for the next couple of weeks. And then at that point, it'll come down to whoever's left in the game.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, I think you could go either way. I don't think one was a wrong decision, though. I think that there's arguments to be made for both sides. Plus, you know, that automatically means Corey's teaming up with Teresa. Seems like Corey's kind of on everybody's good side, and Teresa's going to get thrown in really no matter what. So, you know, Corey and Fessy are trying to make amends. Kyle's not buying it, but it is still something that's happening. So I do think that that is a little bit helpful. I mean, I don't really know what other word to use there, but yeah, it's tough. It's a tough situation, but kind of stick with the known. And this way, you know, you don't leave Casey behind and then Casey ends up getting screwed and getting stuck with, you know, somebody. I mean, then Casey would be with Kyle, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but you know, still, I think it was safe to stick with what they had for now. still like 10 eliminations about left, assuming they do run 10 in that final. So we've covered pretty much everybody. I just want to do a quick jump around to just a couple of the people that we didn't touch on much. The number one kind of being Lolo and Nam here. They had their big blow up last week. Don't really hear much from them today. Nam's talking about what a good friend Jay is. Lolo is very, very quiet this episode. How are we feeling about Lolo and Nam moving forward? Lolo completely threw the challenge today and put up zero fight against Therese.
Well, it seems like Nam is obviously on the outs. Like, he doesn't – maybe it's the language barrier. I don't know. But maybe he just really does not seem to be gelling that well with anybody else in the house apart from Jay. He said Jay was really his only kind of solace there socially. So now that Jay's gone, I don't know, is it too late for him to kind of make those social inroads? We don't really talk a ton about how the challenge is a social game, but I think that is a pretty important element of it, because if you're not making allies, you're in turn kind of making enemies. If nobody feels connected to you, they're not going to help you.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think it looks too promising for him, but he just seems like such a good all around competitor that, you know, he might end up being okay just on physical merit.
Yeah. And it was interesting this week because we did see them talking, like Leroy and Casey talking, if we're not going in, we put in Nam because he's on the outs. So it's definitely become clear that Nam is completely on the outs from everyone. And Jay was his only friend in the house based on the confessionals we got from Nam today, but we didn't really see that beforehand. And that just means he's in a rough spot. And because there is that language barrier, that's going to make it harder for him to make those inroads. Even if he was a good enough social player to make those inroads to make sure he doesn't get put up for elimination, he has that language barrier also preventing him from doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to end up happening here. I really don't. I had really good high hopes for both of them, and now it's kind of just like faltered a lot. It really has. It has drifted down since, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, for sure. It seems like the breaking of the fellowship here between the two of them, for sure. Didn't hear really much from Big T tonight. We heard a little bit from CT. CT goes all in at the deliberation, getting mad. Where's Big T at? What's going on?
She made her big move. She's ready to hold back now. Wait it out. Because Big T does need those rookies to go in. And she has the numbers with the rookies because she might as well be one of them. So that's 5 votes right there. So she's in a really good spot. And the big thing that we got out of this episode is CT's playing a sneaky game.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see the strategy side of CT come out, where he let people run it for a little while, and now he's snaking his way in and starting to give them ideas of who might be the best people to knock out next.
And he's absolutely right. I mean, Darrell, I think all these guys could probably go toe-to-toe with Darrell in most things. I don't know if they would win, but I think it could be fairly competitive for most of them, especially the bigger guys like Fessy. But yeah, I mean, I like what CT's doing here. He did kind of get blown up by Teresa today, so it'll be interesting to see how that affects Big T. I almost feel like, though, Big T is kind of one of those girls left in the house that someone like a Casey would view as a layup, quote-unquote. I mean, we haven't seen a ton from Big T physically. The challenge that they won and they were the double agents on was she was being held on to by CT. So I don't know. I think she would be a good one to keep around in the hope that you could, you know, potentially beat her for a gold skull.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. And then the only other place I really want to go here is Gabby and Devin. So we hear a lot from Devin, but nothing really from Gabby. Is Gabby just going to keep surviving because she's just a rookie and nobody's really scared of her? Like, how is she going to survive being with Devin in this short term? Because you want to talk about somebody who could get screwed over if they do decide to surprise us with a different either a female or a male elimination, we think it's going to be the opposite. It's Gabby for sure.
No, 100%. Especially, and like I said earlier, once this last gold skull is won, Devin's the first one going back down there. Mm-hmm. So that's not very good for her. So she's either not going to be paired with Devin for very long, or she's going to be put down there and then, oh, woman's elimination.
Yeah, that's what I worry for with Gabby. What do you think, Annabelle?
More or less the same. I do think, though, that she's showing agitation with Devin. I mean, she was complaining in confessional about how annoying it is that they could potentially be on the block because Devin was trolling other people so bad. And he's like, she's like, I didn't do anything. I don't want to be a part of this. You know, she's clearly just kind of playing a low-key game, trying to build allies, doesn't really want to poke the bear. That's not Devin's game at all. So, yeah, if it gets to the point where Devin does go back in and he loses, I mean, I think that's actually a good opportunity for Gabby to kind of get a better foothold and get a partner who's really going to work with her more as opposed to, like, work alongside her and do it. You know, you don't see anything with them as a partnership, whereas, like, Casey and Leroy, you know, they're together. Like, they want to work together. They're strategizing. They're communicating. They're competing well. Well, not today, but generally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that could be a good opportunity for her if Devin does get eliminated and no one infiltrates.
Yeah. Yeah, I am curious what's going to happen with Gabby, because with Devin, I feel like his time is – his days are numbered, like John said. As soon as the five gold skulls are gone, he's going to be the first one. But I'm curious to see what's going to end up happening with Gabby, if she's going to be thrown in before that, if she's going to keep lingering, and then eventually just get tossed. I am curious to see how that's going to end up going for her. She's kind of in a no man's land right now, which is not a fun place to be, I feel like, on the show at all. So that really covers it, though. I feel like we talked to enough of the other people. We didn't mention Nani really at all in this podcast, but she was there on the episode because she was just trying to deal with Josh and his absolute insanity. But didn't really talk much about her. Anissa, another one we didn't bring up much. She was a little bit quieter tonight, but
Anissa was getting a snack during that fight. Did y'all see that?
She was laughing too. She was literally eating in the background,
like, I'm gonna watch this. I'm gonna go make a sandwich.
Yeah, it was so funny. Loved it.
Also, them calling an elimination while CT's making dinner, so rude.
So random. That was so weird. They were not expecting that at all, clearly.
No.
And his beanie and the glasses and the MTV shirt. Yes.
I just want to go back on the whole putting Devin in for a gold skull thing. There is a situation where that doesn't happen, depending on who is the double agent. Because if the double agent is someone that you don't want winning a gold skull, then you're going to vote someone in that they can't beat.
Ah, good point.
Right? So if it's
someone without a gold skull so that they can't get one, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So like that's something that might happen further, and it's going to be interesting to see how that happens later in the game.
That's a really good point. I didn't think about that, but I think that's a great point. Like, sorry, do you try to keep people away from a gold skull by, like, you know, putting, okay, great, Josh, you're going in there, you're going against Michi, you should be able to win this, but guess what? Michi doesn't have a gold skull, and neither do you.
So that's what I would get. That's what I would be doing if I was down there.
You're just knocking somebody out.
Yeah.
There's no reward, really, for the winner.
Yeah.
That's an interesting plan. I didn't even think about that. I like that.
That'd be kind of evil. I wonder if they're thinking on.
I bet you that does end up playing into it, because it's like, look, I told you there were only going to be five gold skulls. You should have taken advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Somebody might not run the final just because they don't have a gold skull. Two gold skull people might end up going against each other, and somebody might be in the final 10 or whatever and just not have a gold skull. And he says goodbye.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now that we're getting to the point where there are no more gold skulls.
Yeah. Well, do we have anything else that we want to touch on, or should I wrap this up?
No, I don't think I have anything else.
I don't either. I think we covered pretty much everything. We got nothing from Amber M.
No.
Nothing from Lolo. Not a ton from really most women, except for Teresa. I guess, again, the focus always tends to be on who's going to go home.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a men's elimination. They were looking at the men more.
Yeah. So there you go. There you have it. Episode 7 recap of the challenge. If you are a Survivor fan, you probably listened to our Peridium podcast. Alexa and I were on live with Peridium a little bit before this, actually. So if you listen to that already, you know all the fun stuff we have coming up. So I will do the very quick recap of it. If you like the man below me here, John Millsap, John and I have been, we just started last night our first episode of Movie Buff Specialists. It is the two of us going through our top 100 movies, starting at 100, working our way to one. Last night we talked about The Descendants and Les Mis. This week, we're going to be talking about Toy Story and The Wrestler, two movies that have absolutely nothing in common, which will be really fun. The only thing they have in common is that they're both our number 99. So we're going to be doing that. It's like a little bit of a fun thing while we still wait for Survivor to come back. Alexa and I will be live on Monday with Will and James, the winners of The Amazing Race. That'll be a lot of fun. We're starting up a new classic Survivor series next week, where we're going to be watching the merge episode of Heroes versus Villains. That'll be happening on Wednesday night. Also on Monday, McKenna and Alexa wrap up their Survivor Australia rewatch. And the three of us will be back next Wednesday to talk about the challenge episode 8. All that's going on. If you're not a patron yet, now is a great time to become a patron. On February 1st, Alexa and I are starting daily content over there for $20 patrons. It's going to be coming hot and heavy. There's going to be a lot going on. We have a lot to talk about. There is some information coming out about Survivor, so there is exciting stuff. And now that John and I talk about movies, John, Annabelle, and I talk about the challenge, and Alexa and McKenna are doing International Survivor, we have plenty of things that we can talk about to our patrons. So if you're just into any type of content, hop over there, become a $20 patron, and you get to become friends with everybody, because that seems to be what everybody has done. So all that being said, go check us, go check out all our stuff, Instagram, Twitter, all the stuff that we don't really use. And we will see you all next week, at least for this episode, for episode 8 recap of The Challenge.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more, and sign up. Terms apply.